back to the Depression days, did people come to your house asking for food?
They did. Somehow the people who are in need and are traveling through the communities, often referred to as hobos, but they were just people who did not have a home at the moment. I don't know how they marked houses, but somehow people knew that your house was good for a meal. And they would come to the back door, knock on the door. We didn't have much, but my mother always would manage to share whatever we had. If they came to the door, they got a little bit of whatever we had. And it was regular. I'm sure they knew that address or that house, you could get a meal. And yes, they came very regularly.
If you got to know their names at all, but I remember in a farm in North Dakota, south of Grand Forks, for one reason or another, I bet if he's a hobo or not, he came regularly. His name was Culbian. And for that reason, I can remember that 70-some years later, that man's name was Culbian. He had a great personality. What did you do for entertainment back in those days?
Played outside, and I would ride the bicycle. I worked early. When I was 7 years old, I began a job hawking newspapers. That's a term people don't use now, but a newspaper boy. I would stake out a corner downtown and have the papers to sell to passersby.
Did you hawk the headline?
We did.
I
learned that as being necessary. When I was first starting, I did not, but I soon found out that if you could read the paper and you could tell people what was in the paper, you could sell more papers. At seven, I was a newspaper boy. I staked out a corner spot that was adjacent to the best men's clothing store in town, the S&Q Clothiers, at the corner of Main and Broadway. And that was my corner that I was going to work. The process was that you had to buy the papers in advance, and then you would go sell them. Papers cost 2.5 cents, and you sold them for 3, so you made a half cent per paper. I would have a nickel. I would go buy 2 papers, go up and hawk those 2 papers, and go back and buy 2 more, and go back and hawk them. If I had a great day, I might have earned 10 cents, 5 cents of which would have been profit. And I would save 5 cents to go back the next day and buy the paper. But as I stood on that corner, I also learned that the only people who were buying the papers were the men who were wearing suits. And that reinforced what my mother had been telling me. If you're going to be successful, you have to dress nicely. But I would hawk papers on the corner. So that took a little bit of time every day, but we did play outside.
And you wanted to do it.
I did.
Nobody told you had to.
No, so. It was a way of earning a little bit of money. People can't understand why people from the Depression era will stop and pick up a penny off the sidewalk. But if a penny was the profit from selling 2 newspapers, you understood that.
During that time, labor unions were formed as a result of the Depression. And what was your father's view of unions?
The labor unions were coming into many of the businesses because the people who did have jobs were not paid as well as they felt they should be, and the labor unions were trying to raise salaries and get benefits. My father did not want to participate in the union, and the business where he was newly employed at the cement plant was becoming a business where unions were active. I remember one evening that 2 men came to the house to visit with him about why he was not joining the union, and they were pretty aggressive in trying to force him to do that. I remember how upset he was that they were trying to force him into the union. He later did join the union in its later years, but initially he did not. He did not want to be a part of that. He felt it was inappropriate. In his mind, it was inappropriate to do that.
Begrudgingly joined.
He did, right? Very begrudgingly.
You've written many books, and so you wrote a book, one from the least and disappearing generation, a memoir of a Depression-era kid. You have dealt at length here about it. How did this book come about? Was this one of your first books?
It was one of the first books, and the name of the book is a little intriguing to some people, the least and disappearing generation. The Depression-era children, this group is the smallest generation in recent history of our nation. The group is often called the silent generation in some of the studies of generational groups in America, but our generation, those born in the late 20s into the late 30s, about 20 million population smaller than our parents' generation and about 50 million smaller than our children, the baby boomers' generation. So we are the least in number of the generations, and obviously we're getting old and we're dying, so we're disappearing. But I just felt that my children in particular, and later grandchildren, needed to know what life was like during the time before the Depression, during the Depression, and then in the early years as the Depression was ending. So I wrote the story.
I just opened it up here. The game you played was Tin Can Shinny. What was that?
It's a little bit like hockey, except it's played out in the street, and you use a beat-up tin can as the puck. It's pretty much played like a hockey game. The shinny was really just a limb from a tree that had a crook on the end of it, and you use that to hit the can.
Kids can find anything.
You can create things, but you had a game, and you had goals at the end of the street, and there wasn't much traffic in the street because not many people had cars. After my parents lost basically everything they had at the depth of the Depression, our family did not have a car until I was in high school.
That was in the 40s.
That was in the 40s.
You said they lost everything. How bad did it get?
I remember at one time my father had one shirt. He was working at that time at a service station. My mother would wash the shirt every night and dry it, and he would wear it the next day. Had very little clothing, very little food. Some families that had businesses, some families in other parts of town were not extremely wealthy, but they were wealthy enough that the Depression did not affect them in the same way that those who did not have steady jobs, who were not in business. So food was not readily available.
Would you go to bed without dinner, starving?
We weren't starving. We would have something. I remember my dad at one time tried to raise chickens that we could eat, and half of them died. Can't do such things in town as well as you can out in the country. He bought a cow, or got a cow, and worked it off, I guess. But we had a cow, and he tried to keep it in our backyard, but there wasn't enough grass to support it. So having milk from a cow didn't work out too well. He did have a garden and would try to raise some vegetables and things in the garden. For a number of years, until he had steady employment, it was pretty slim.